This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. It's the first of the month, and joining me to give the inside scoop on the latest news of your favorite streaming services is editor-in-chief of Extremist, Rob Toledo. Thanks for joining me, Rob.
Thanks for having me.
I really want to talk about this. What did you think of Stranger Things Season 2?
Oh, my gosh. All right, I'm going to say that I'll start it off by saying this. My expectations were almost exactly met, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
I was very, very excited. I'll try not to spoil anything here, but the second season was just about what I needed it to be. You know, it wasn't anything way out there or beyond my expectations, which would have been kind of hard, I think. But it definitely did not disappoint, and I think that was what I think everyone was really afraid of, right? Because that first season came out of nowhere and was just like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing Netflix has ever done. And I mean, well, you know, some people thought that. And, you know, of course, with that comes these heightened expectations for season two. And, you know, I think the second season has been just about what I needed it to be. And I think that's great, a great place for it.
I'm not sure if this is a spoiler, especially since you've kind of seen it in the trailer, but they did add two new characters, Max and Billy. I don't know about you, but I kind of felt that they were unnecessary. Am I kind of wrong on that?
That's a good question. You know, it's been the one thing I have heard is that it seems like they're trying to expand the show in a way that was a complaint a lot of people had. Like, why not just kind of stick with a good thing? Now, my interpretation here is that the brothers that are making the show, the Duffer brothers, they plan on making this thing go for 4 or 5 seasons. And so kind of with that, I kind of imagine you have to introduce, you know, some new character strings and new plot lines, you know, if you're planning on making the show run that long. But you're right, there's definitely been kind of a complaint that, you know, some of the additions have been a little bit less than necessary. I was just reading a complaint, I think it was episode 7, and I won't spoil anything for your listeners who haven't watched it yet, but they kind of took some experimentation in the plot line and kind of the way they did the episode, and I was just reading some complaints about that specific episode today, and you know, I would expect that we'll see a lot of experimentation with the series, a few flops here and there. But, you know, if they can keep the next few seasons as good as the second season, I'll be happy.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Besides the Max and Billy part, I really enjoyed everything about it. I hope that they continue doing so well with this. And I'm looking forward to what they have, you know, for the next seasons. And I'm even wondering, maybe they could even do like a spinoff. I think they can do a spinoff.
Oh, sure. I mean, there's so much to explore there, and I think like the kind of that nostalgic feel of the 80s certainly is fun to you know watch as somebody who grew up, you know, with, you know, Goonies and E.T. and all that, all these influences of the show. It's a real treat, isn't it?
Another I think this is a Netflix show. The Day I Met El Chapo. The only reason I remember this or even knew about it was because of Sean Penn. But could you give a little background of it?
Yeah, so it's a documentary series that follows a Latin American, I think a telenova star, I think would be her title at the time, Kate Del Castillo is her name. And she tweeted out a few years ago something like, you know, I'm going to get this wrong, but, you know, along these lines of, you know, I would trust El Chapo more than I would the Mexican government or something like that. And of course that causes a storm because she's, you know, she's kind of this, you know, tabloid celebrity in the Latin American countries. And of course, El Chapo was a very notorious drug dealer. So that's a pretty, interesting thing to tweet out. I'll put it that way. With that in mind, you know, they ended up messaging back and forth for a while and she ended up meeting El Chapo. And, you know, Sean Penn joined her in this meeting, and it was like this weird, you know, it ended up turning into a Rolling Stone article. And, you know, I think what Del Castillo is hoping to do here on the documentary is I think she feels like her side of the story never got told. So she released this documentary. Now, what's been interesting, I think it's a 3-part series, and each episode is about an hour long, so it's a pretty quick watch. Is that, you know, Sean Penn came out and was like, there's so many, all these inaccuracies in this documentary, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, Netflix has simply responded and said, well, you know, you had the opportunity to be a part of the production of this and you turned it down. So it's kind of on you. And, you know, Del Castillo has come out a few times and said, you know, this is my side of the story, and I want to explain, you know, why I said what I said and what went down in the meetings and stuff. It's been interesting. I always kind of enjoy when there's a little bit of, you know, extra drama on top of these things outside of the show itself, and we're certainly getting that with The Day I Met El Chapo.
Yeah, that's a lot of drama, and it's probably how appropriate, since she's a part of, like, does telenovelas, so...
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, why wasn't Sean Penn part of it in the beginning? I mean, he could have aligned himself with this. I mean, you're right. The Rolling Stones article, he wrote about El Chapo. It was like he was a big deal for it. You would think he would want to be a part of this.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I don't know why he didn't do it. I'm surprised. I think it would have been, you know, he seems fascinated in the El Chapo story. I think he would have been a part of this. He obviously met with Del Castillo, so it's, you know, it all kind of would have made sense. Like, you know, hey, jump in on this too. But for whatever reason, you know, he didn't seem interested. Maybe he wanted to distance himself from it or something. I'm not sure, but it was an interesting decision. I'm surprised he didn't have his name in there somewhere.
Absolutely. I mean, right now Netflix is so hot with all its original programming. So to me, it's like he missed the boat.
Yeah, absolutely. I think more and more, you know, big name celebrities will want to be getting involved with kind of what Netflix is doing and how this new streaming content is releasing. And, you know, maybe at one point he would have wanted to produce the movie for the series or a TV show or something. And, you know, just kind of, I think this is kind of probably left a negative taste in everyone's mouth on his behalf.
Yeah, right. But a big star was recently announced to be part of Daredevil season 3, Vincent D'Onofrio. Did I say that right? It's D'Onofrio, right?
I think so, yeah.
You know, it's funny. I just call him Bobby because that's what I know him from, Law and Order, Criminal Intent, Bobby.
Right, that's right.
So it's like I don't even know his real name, and I feel bad for it, but I remember him as Bobby. Anyway, so Vincent is now going to, it's announced he's part of season 3 of Daredevil, but why did it come out so late? I mean, was the Defenders like the bridge in between season 2 and season 3 then?
Yeah, I would guess so. The one thing that I'm really looking forward to this month is I think The Punisher comes out this month, and
we've
gotten a lot of fanfare from that. I think it releases November 22nd. I might have to double check on that, but I mean, that, you know, he made an appearance in season 2, and so I'm really excited that he's getting his own show here. I love the actor. I'm blanking on his name right now, but I think that'll be another, you know, just another addition to Netflix catalog in this Marvel universe. You know, I think we spoke last time that, you know, Jessica Jones and Daredevil have been so strong. And what was the one that you said you did not like, though?
Oh, Iron Fist. I did not like Iron Fist.
You're right. So I'm hoping they kind of go back. And I think The Punisher is going to do that based off of what I've seen so far, you know, kind of head back in the direction of, you know, kind of that, you know, that Daredevil, Jessica Jones feel. Fingers crossed, of course. But yeah, and then I think, you know, with season 3 of Daredevil coming up not too far off next year, you know, it's an exciting time for the Marvel Universe at Netflix, and I think that that's a relationship that's benefited both of them in a big way. I think what's been so cool has been, you know, kind of that, you know, you're not getting your biggest names in the Marvel Universe on these shows, but they're getting their chance to shine, and I think that's been really cool. And, you know, if I can be honest here, you know, the Ben Affleck Daredevil did not do it justice. So, you know, I think everyone was kind of glad that Netflix redid that, and it's gone quite well for them.
You know, it's so funny you said that. My producer absolutely loves Elektra and the old Daredevil and has defended it all the time. And
yeah,
I'm like,
isn't
that the truth? To each their own. You know, when looking at Daredevil season 3, I didn't realize it, but the Defenders was actually like the bridge between everybody's season 2. Because Jessica Jones didn't get a season 2. I didn't even realize that she didn't have a season 2 yet. That's coming out in what, 2018?
I think so, yeah. I think there's a bunch of follow-ups happening next year with kind of each of these characters. Now, I'll be curious, because I think a lot of them had agreements to, you know, some sort of second season. Not, I wouldn't call it a guarantee, but, you know, and I would be curious to see if, you know, Luke Cage or, you know, a lot of these, the Iron Fist gets a second season, kind of with the being a little bit less popular than Daredevil and Jessica Jones were.
Is there any other programs that are coming out that people should be looking out for in November?
Yeah, I think, I said Punisher, there's a new Western coming out that's definitely caught my attention called Godless. It'll be a new Netflix original. It's got some, it's got kind of an interesting storyline. Longmire, which is a show that I forget which channel, it might have been AMC, canceled it. Netflix picked it up, and they've done a really good job with it. I think it's its final season this month coming out. One of the most interesting things I saw this month, because Netflix is normally really cagey about their ratings. You know, they don't talk a lot about how many viewers watch this or that. And they actually put out a blog post of the top 20 most binged shows on Netflix following their initial release. And there was some surprising, the list was surprising to me. I think their criteria for it was, you know, how many people watched the show immediately after it released and watched, you know, basically complete the whole first season or whatever in a few days. And, you know, if I'll just go through the list here. There was Gilmore Girls was the number one most binge show, followed by Fuller House. And then right there, third was The Defenders. You know, shows like House of Cards or Orange is the New Black, which have kind of been the ones that get a lot of the press, were kind of further down the list. And I thought that was really interesting.
Oh, that is Gilmore Girls? I never would have thought.
Yeah. Somebody made a comment on the article, and I thought this was an interesting point, was when it comes to binge-watching television, it seems like the shows that do well for something like that are kind of like the easier ones to watch. You know, not a little bit less plot-heavy or like crazy twists or lots of storylines you have to follow. And I thought that was probably a good point. I think that's probably true. Like, you know, a nice soft comedy is really easy to binge-watch, whereas something with, like, you know, lots of twists and turns and heavy character development, you're not so much likely to sit and watch 10 episodes in a row.
You know, I'm so glad you spoke about House of Cards. So I think they're on season 6, and this is going to be the last season because of some stuff that Kevin Spacey did. I'm a little shocked about it, that they were so fast to react. Do you think that was kind of right?
That's a great question. Now, I've heard conflicting reports here. Now, what I thought was interesting was, I'll say this off the top of my head, I think House of Cards probably should have ended a few seasons ago anyway,
yeah,
outside
true.
Of this, you know, the allegations against Kevin Spacey. I have heard that Netflix was already planning on, you know, ending the show this sixth season. I do not think it was formally announced until, you know, the sexual misconduct allegations came out against Kevin Spacey. Then they immediately were announcing, you know, never mind, this is the last season. Like, don't worry, we're taking action on this. Really interesting dilemma that Netflix is in on this, because there's people that are saying, don't even release the sixth season. You know, we want nothing to do with Kevin Spacey. And the show hasn't even been, they're not even, you know, I don't even think it's near completion, and so, you know, Netflix will be working with him for, you know, several more episodes of filming or whatever, and I think that's an interesting, like, a really tough spot to be in for them, you know, have to deal with this controversy as well as, you know, produce a television show that people expect to wrap up.
Yeah, you know, with this whole Rob Weinstein thing happening, you're starting to see, like, how it's going to affect the movies, but actually, it also affects TV shows and streaming, everything is, it seems like it's unraveling. I don't know. It's going to be interesting in the upcoming months to see where things are going to be led, at least.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think, like you had said, like, I feel like the Weinstein stories is just kind of the tip of the iceberg, and it's kind of unraveling. And, you know, I think we'll see a lot of people, a lot of big names in TV who are these, you know, will come out and say that, you know, this and that has happened to them. And they've dealt with these, you know, this sexual misconduct in Hollywood, which has kind of always been an open secret, as we've learned in the past couple, you know, weeks. It'll be interesting to see how it affects the industry. I think, you know, if there's big names wrapped up in this, that's trouble for Hollywood, you know, and they produce just as much TV as they do movies down there. So, you know, we could see Netflix and, you know, a lot of the other streaming services wrapped up in this, and that's tough.
Yeah, it is tough. I know personally, I have a banned list. And I've had this list for like ages. It's where if somebody did, like, an actor or a producer or director did something questionable, like, I won't go see their movies. I won't watch anything. Even on cable, it's like, oh, this person, like, I'm not watching the movie, even if it's really good. Since this has happened with, like, you know, Rob Weinstein, I feel like I'm not going to be able to watch anything.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, and like we're seeing with the, you know, there's a kind of a growing, you know, drumbeat of people who are saying, you know, House of Cards should be canceled, get rid of it. You know, that's been, Netflix is probably, I would say, one of their most successful shows, if not their most successful show. And to have this happen now, and, you know, part of me is just like, man, I don't even want to watch the sixth season.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't want to support that. And I think that's a common stance that a lot of people are taking right now.
Well, I don't know what they're going to do, but at least I guess they'll wrap it up. Moving forward, I guess maybe they won't work with him. Like, man, this is It's like so much drama. I like being the fly on the wall, but I sure as hell wouldn't want to be part of it.
Oh my goodness, no kidding. Yeah, it's been certainly just an interesting few weeks here. I think there's just so much that is still going to come out too. And I think Netflix has kind of found itself right in the middle of it. You know, they're probably one of the biggest names in entertainment, and Kevin Spacey is one of the biggest names, named actors. And so to be wrapped up right in the thick of it, I think we're going to see a lot of people coming out and opposing the production of this next season, and that puts Netflix in a really tight spot.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks so much, Rob, for coming on. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find you at?
They can find me at extremist.com. Cover all the different streaming services, whether that's Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, et cetera. And hopefully we've got the news that will keep you updated on what's new and upcoming on those services.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's masonverapayne.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.